To God, alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Our text for this morning is a portion of our Old Testament reading for today. It comes from the 15th chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with verse 19. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall, and they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who said, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, dear fellow redeemed. Medical research has made great strides in recent decades, and I think all of us have a pretty healthy respect for modern medicine. So we tend to lose sight of a pretty basic fact that in spite of all today's medical advances, absolute cures are still very rare. For instance, there's still no absolute cure for any kind of cancer, no cure for diabetes, no cure for influenza or even the common cold. In fact, it's pretty hard to find an example of an absolute cure. Polio comes to mind, but even there, polio, which has been pretty much exterminated in our country, was overcome with preventative measures and a vaccine, not with a cure. There's still no cure for the disease. That's why it's so unusual when we run across something that genuinely is an absolute cure. And that's what we have in our text for today. As we meet the prophet Jeremiah, he is infected, severely infected with the disease of discouragement. It's taken hold of him and is threatening to destroy him. In fact, he feels like he's all alone and even gotten to the point where he's questioning the reliability and the goodness of God. Have you ever felt that way? Don't raise your hand. If you have, you'll be glad to know that the Lord has an absolute cure for Christian discouragement. If you've ever done your very best to be a faithful Christian and gotten nothing for it but pushback and mockery and disdain, or worse, if your biggest discouragement in life is that you haven't always been a faithful Christian and haven't really done a good job of witnessing your Savior, if your discouragement is because of your own sin, then today's text is especially for you. Our theme for this morning is God's Word, the absolute cure for the discouraged believer. It's a cure because it gives you absolute authority. It gives you absolute invulnerability, and it gives you absolute redemption. I was reading through this text in preparation for this morning, and it took me a while to realize that the entire passage before us really is about God's Word. Those of us who have been Lutherans for a long time tend to kind of take this for granted, don't we? That the Bible is the center of our faith and our life. Well, it was for the prophet Jeremiah, too. He says, your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He loved God's word. He ate it up. He presented the word of God faithfully to the people of Judah to whom he'd been sent. So what went wrong? Well, turns out that God's word was not what the people of Judah wanted to hear. God told them through Jeremiah that they were sinful, that they needed to repent of their wickedness and idolatry and godless ways. So they kind of shot the messenger. They persecuted Jeremiah. They mocked him and ridiculed him to the point where he felt isolated and all alone, like he was the only one left who was still clinging to God's word. It was painful. Jeremiah couldn't understand it. He said, I did not sit with the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand, for you have filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Got to the point, in fact, where Jeremiah even dared to accuse God himself of abandoning him. "Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream, as waters that fail? Lord, are you going to be to me like those riverbeds in the desert that are so unreliable that they're filled with water one day and bone dry the next?" Jeremiah, you'd have to say, was one discouraged believer. Have you been a discouraged believer at times? Perhaps you haven't been physically persecuted or thrown into jail because you clung to God's word and were faithful to your Lord Jesus, as Jeremiah was. But I sometimes wonder whether or not we may not be heading toward more overt persecution of Christians in our country. And you've certainly felt the more subtle forms of persecution, haven't you? The sneering condescension of people who look down on you, really, because of your faith. You Christians, you believe that God made the world in 6 days? How naive. What a fairy tale. You really believe that Christ was born of a virgin, that he walked on water and raised the dead? If you stick to what God says in his word, you can easily start to feel quite isolated and discouraged, just as Jeremiah was. We in the CLC certainly have learned that lesson in the 50 years of our history, if we've learned nothing else. But for every discouragement in your life, God's word is the absolute cure. Especially if the thing that's been discouraging you is the way in which people react to your Christian witness. For did you ever realize? God's word gives you absolute authority. God tells you the same thing he told Jeremiah. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. You shall be as my mouth. Imagine for a human being to be the very mouthpiece of God himself. What vast authority that would give that special person. Well, that's exactly the authority you possess when you speak the truths of God's word to people. Now, they may not believe it. They may reject it completely, and they may heap ridicule and scorn upon you. Do you know how much that changes God's truth? Not one bit. When you're speaking God's word, whether it be to a friend or a coworker or a relative or a neighbor, you're speaking with absolute authority. "He who hears you hears me," Jesus said. "And he who rejects you rejects me and rejects him who sent me." You might have noticed in our text, though, that God tacked a couple of conditions on Jeremiah. He said, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back, and you shall stand before me." The word return in the Hebrew there, by the way, means it's the same word as the word for repent. Jeremiah needed to repent. He had a lot to repent of, and so do we. The prophet had taken his eye off the ball and had focused not on the work of the Lord, but on his own suffering and his pain and discouragement. Worst of all was questioning God's faithfulness. And for that, he needed to repent. Just like you and I have to repent for all the times that we've complained and questioned God and given in to discouragement in our life. Jeremiah also had to maintain the integrity of God's word. "If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them." We understand this a little better when we realize, as one scholar said, that there were probably 200 prophets active at the time of Jeremiah in Jerusalem, 199 of whom were telling the people what they wanted to hear, the exact opposite of Jeremiah's message, that everything was going fine, that they had nothing to repent of. Of course, all of that was vile dross, was worthless. Compared to that, God gave to Jeremiah the pure, precious gold of his word. He needed to maintain the integrity of that word, and so do we. That's why we here at Ascension and we in the CLC place such a premium on God's word. We're absolutely focused on the Bible, because when we speak God's word, with nothing added to it and nothing taken away from it, we speak as God's mouthpiece. Then we speak with absolute authority. God's word is the absolute cure for a discouraged believer. Secondly, because it provides absolute invulnerability. God told Jeremiah, "I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall, and they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you." Survival in the ancient Near East was all about fortifications. Whether or not your city grew and prospered was largely dependent on how high and how thick was the wall that surrounded your city. Many city walls were of hardened mud brick. Some were even made of stone blocks. But God said to Jeremiah, "I will make you a wall of solid bronze. They can fight against you, but they will never defeat you." And that's a promise. What a cure for discouragement. For the Lord to tell you that no matter what trials and hardships you encounter in life, no matter what persecution, no matter what difficulties, you will never be defeated. And yet this is exactly what God's word does tell you in the 8th chapter of Romans, where Paul asks, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Finally, we come to the most important reason why God's word is the absolute cure for the discouraged believer. Because it provides absolute redemption. "For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible." From all those things that frighten you most in life, all the persecution and pain and suffering, everything that makes you downhearted and discouraged, particularly your sin, that pervasive feeling of inadequacy and unworthiness before God. "Don't be discouraged," God says. "I've got the cure for that. I will deliver you and I will redeem you." And here's something interesting. The word for deliver in this passage, it's the same Hebrew root that forms the name that may be familiar to most of you, the name Jesus. Jesus means deliverer. When Jeremiah got done with all his whining and complaining, he finally still believed that God was his deliverer. He had faith that the Lord would deliver him from his present trials. But even more than that, he had faith that God would make good on his ancient promise to send the ultimate deliverer, Jesus Christ, who would one day come to redeem the world. We know that faith was in Jeremiah's heart from the whole rest of his book, but particularly from passages like this in chapter 31. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." And this in chapter 33. "In those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Yes, Jeremiah believed. He believed in the absolute cure that took away his discouragement. He believed in the Savior told about in God's word, the Savior who would not only bring us righteousness, who would not only bestow upon us righteousness, the Savior who literally would be our righteousness. Paul says, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." The Lord sent his innocent son up that last lonely hill to Calvary. In those terrible 6 hours on the cross, the Father loaded his son with all the sins and guilt of the world, your sins and mine included, so that he made Jesus to be sin so that you and I might be righteous before God, so that the blood he shed on that cross might cover our sins and shortcomings as well, our failures and our flaws, so that every discouragement in your life might vanish like the morning mist, so that the bright hope of heaven, previously so remote and unreachable to us, might now become not just a possibility, but in Christ, a certainty. Paul tells my story and yours when he says in the book of Ephesians, "You were once without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Is it any wonder that we cherish God's word and that we treasure it so dearly? For it is God's word that bestows upon us absolute redemption. F.B. Meyer was one of the most influential British evangelists of the early 1900s, and he often served in parishes that were working class places, the downtrodden inner city areas like Liverpool and London. Must have been quite a daunting task at times. Yet he wasn't discouraged. He once wrote, "I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves placed one above the other, and that the taller we grew in Christian character, the easier we could reach them. I now find that God's gifts are on shelves placed one beneath the other. It is not a question of growing taller, but of stooping lower, that we have to go down, always down, to get his best gifts." So if you find yourself bowed down by adversity at times, don't be discouraged. To you belongs the very best gift of all on God's shelf, the gift of his word. It is the absolute cure for the discouraged believer because it gives absolute authority, absolute invulnerability, and absolute redemption. My prayer is that one day we will all of us meet together in that place where there will never be any discouragements forever and ever. For God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please rise.